nuts.
Hey, welcome back, hyenas, to the only YouTube channel where it's morally acceptable to donate to a millionaire. That's right. I'm richer than any of you will ever know, and you have my permission to continue to give me money. That's right. You don't need to worry about it. I approve. Recently, there has been a bit of news around Charlie, aka Moist Critical, aka Wet Jesus, aka YouTuber Penguin Zero. He made a video early this week or late last week titled I'm Not Turning It Back On, in which he talks about disabling the features on his YouTube/Twitch that allow viewers to donate money to him directly. And he does this in a video where he showcases every dollar that he has ever made from streaming/uploading videos on YouTube. And this is a dude with hundreds of millions, if not billions of views. I guess I could check right now to see if it's a billion views. Is it a billion views? Does he have a billion views? He has 12 billion views on his YouTube channel. And in this video, he states that he doesn't want people donating money to him directly. They're hard-earned money in these trying times. And in an effort to really hammer home that point, he showcases that on Twitch, in the last 3 years, he has made, or sorry, what's 365 days? In the last 5 years, right? 3 years, something like that. He has made $4 million from streaming on Twitch, and that's entirely from ads and gifted subs. So the $5 or $6 you donate to give somebody a little badge in Twitch, not including, this does not include people donating money to him directly via PayPal or what have you, if he even had that enabled. And he also showcases that on his YouTube channel, if I could find it, in his lifetime of making YouTube videos, which has probably been, it looks like since 2007, so the better part of 2018 years, I think, if my math is good there. He has made $35 million from YouTube AdSense. That is just the money that YouTube has paid him from people watching his videos. Again, not including any extra memberships or sponsored deals or people donating money to him directly. This is purely through YouTube. The thing that he disabled was people's ability to purchase a membership or something like that, or donate money to him directly. He turned that off, and he showcased the amount of money that he made in his career of the last 10, 20 years of making YouTube videos and streaming in order to really hammer home the point that, hey, I am perfectly good with the amount of money that I have made on YouTube and Twitch. And so I don't need you, dude who works 60 hours a week supporting a family, to feel obligated to gift me $5 or $10 via Twitch or YouTube memberships or anything else. I am the last person who needs that money. In one sense, just sort of being an individual who's trying to be transparent, Moist Critical, I don't know if you know this because you might have not been watching him for 20 years the way that I have, started his YouTube journey without enabling ads on his YouTube whatsoever. He stated in a very early video that he believes that money is something that corrupts people, and so he didn't want to turn his hobby of making these goofy early 2000s videos on YouTube into something that made money and then turned into a job that he worried might sully the enjoyment of him making these goofy videos. He then later transitioned into running ads because his videos were making so much money and donating all of that money to a charity every month so that that money isn't just wasted and instead could be used for good, and then eventually made the full transition into just using that to pay himself so that he could do YouTube full time, and that's sort of his story. So it only feels natural that an individual with that sort of outlook on making money would then turn to, listen, I actually feel like I have enough of it. But the other sort of thing, the underlying reading between the lines here, is he's highlighting other content creators. You can take a look at his channel and see that he has 12 billion views or 20 million subscribers, and that can place a point in your mind of how big of a YouTuber this is. And then you can look at other YouTubers like XQC and his $100 million deal, Asmongold, Ninja, even Mr. Beast, and really realize just how much money these guys make from their content and whether or not you really need to be buying a sweatshirt or a t-shirt to support, you know, quote unquote, support a creator who in all realities is probably a multi-millionaire. Big content creators make big money. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. But when Charlie released this video showcasing just how much money he made, I think it sort of reminded a lot of people that at the tippy top of the summit of YouTubers and Twitch streamers, the PewDiePies, the Quesos, the Moist Criticals, those numbers get unbelievably extravagant, and it can be difficult to pinpoint exactly how much money that is. If I asked you how much money you think a big YouTuber has made, you might guess he's a millionaire, but the number of $40 or $50 million from doing content for the last 10 or 20 years, probably up at $50 or $60 million when you factor in merch and or sponsored deals and or gamer subs and all sorts of affiliate codes on top of that, I think people sort of forget just how high that peak can go, and for good reason, because that's not true for almost anybody. I didn't do my scripting and planning for covering this topic with the guise of like, hey, look how much money Moist Critical makes. He just happened to have uploaded that video, and I thought it was an insightful look into the mentality behind somebody who makes content the way that he does. A lot of the conversation around people talking about this on Reddit in response to Charlie showcasing the better part of $40 million made over the last 15, 20 years of doing content creation has been, I can't believe somebody talking to a $60 webcam about his takes on anime and internet drama can pay so much more money than me as a doctor or an oil rig worker or whatever. It absolutely doesn't compare. And that's true, but the comparison is to the absolute pinnacle of YouTube content creators. 12 billion views is a ridiculous number. That is not a number that you can even attempt to strive for unless you have a really good thing going. And that number has only been achieved after the better part of almost 20 years of making videos. It would be like if you were not just a CEO or a doctor or somebody who worked at a thing. You would have to be the most famous worker at your Wendy's or doctor at your practitioner or therapist or whatever. You would have to be the celebrity status version of whatever your W-2 job is to compare it to Moist Critical as a YouTuber, because that's kind of what he is as a YouTuber. He's like a B-list celebrity in real life from being an S-tier YouTuber, if that makes sense. But the thing that I wanted to talk about today is not so much the absolute top of YouTube, but rather everybody, give or take, below the top of YouTube. What I kind of consider like the content creator, the YouTuber, the social media influencer, middle class, as it were. People who take YouTube and Twitch and what have you as their job, that is the thing they do to make money, like myself, but aren't these A-tier Charlies and Mr. Beasts and what have you, because I think the story and the absolute climate of social media is actually quite the opposite of what you might think it is for some of these big YouTubers. And the reasoning for that is very much the same thing that has gotten YouTube and TikTok and everything else up to the status that they're at, which is the algorithm, the thing that is driving and connecting people who make videos to people who watch videos, has gotten so good that it's actually started to be a diminishing result and a very difficult time for basically anybody who has been doing YouTube as a job that isn't at the level of somebody like Moist Critical. And it's actually been incredibly harmful for anybody who isn't at that peak. The reason that Moist Critical has been so successful in his YouTube career, in my opinion, is his ability for his content to be relevant throughout the multiple changes in the YouTube algorithm and the social media landscape as a whole. He was able to make videos that was just him talking to a camera about something he finds interesting, which is a very simple concept, but the fact that it was so simple meant that even 5-10 years ago, when his videos were getting 100,000 views or 1 million views and people found it interesting, 10 years later, he can still make those same videos and people still find them interesting to the same regard. But that's not true for everybody. If you remember what YouTube was like 10-15 years ago, videos were like 2-3 minutes long. you know, comedy skits and like highlights, short animations or whatever, these videos could get 20, 30 million views, no problem. And people could make money by making videos like that once or twice a month if they needed to. But with YouTube changing up the way that the algorithm works and preferring people staying on the website for longer, videos had to get longer. And now suddenly, skit comedy channels who are only really making a couple jokes in 2 or 3 minutes can't really do that for 10, 15 minutes the way that YouTube wants them to. They can't necessarily go super viral by only being 2 or 3 minutes long. And now, how much sketch comedy do you see on YouTube? Animation channels where it takes 6 weeks to make a video that's only 3 minutes long. Hardly any of those exist anymore. YouTube used to be an incredible landscape for indie animations and indie storytellers, but now it's really only the big guys that you see who can basically guarantee 5, 10 million views a video that can afford to spend 8 weeks on putting together an animation that might only be 10, 15 minutes long. All of these guys have been heavily affected and in a lot of ways have basically quit YouTube or quit that style of YouTube because the algorithm shifted slightly and now the entire thing that they did to be able to interact with their audience fell out of favor. And so did them. But it's not just as simple as keep up with the algorithm or perish. It has long-standing effects on existing content creators of all sorts of sizes. I'm sure you guys have seen the shift in my content over the course of the last couple months, where I went from these higher-produced, green-screen standing videos that took a lot more editing and had a lot more stuff going on in order to basically do the same thing of sharing something that I find interesting on the internet. But in the last couple months, I've transitioned to what you're seeing now, which is minimal editing, no green screen. I've taken away a lot of the fluff that took up a lot of my time in an effort to just focus on talking to you guys about the things that I find interesting and in an effort to get you to come over to my Patreon to view bonus material, because with the changes on YouTube going on, I've needed to try and make more videos to try to compensate for the loss of viewership over the course of time, because I kind of gave up on the idea of trying to make one really good video that might get a million views, because that's never happened, and instead have had to make several smaller, easier to make videos that I think are still worth watching and good for you, and kind of just be happy with the idea that the algorithm is never really going to shoot me into the trending charts. But I'm not the only one who's doing that. In fact, a lot of people are doing that. If you take a look at Many Kudos, he uploaded the better part of like 2 or 3 videos in the last part of the last 6 or 8 months, which are his classic style of dressing up and using costumes and making like a really nice, high-produced video. But his last couple videos, as a result, have been kind of the style that I've been making them, where he's sitting and talking to a camera about something that he finds interesting, some of which is recorded live on twitch.com and then turned into this video. The production and everything has been stripped away because, and I don't know this because I didn't ask him when we did our podcast, but I imagine it's the exact same reasoning, which is, hey, the algorithm's a bitch. I can't put all my eggs in one basket, and so I gotta make more videos, and that means that the videos have to get a little bit easier to produce if I wanna make more than one a month, and he ends up right where I am. Obviously, he also has a plug to go join him over on Patreon, because if YouTube's making a tough deal of you viewing their videos on their platform, it only makes sense for you to support your favorite creator on another platform where you'll actually be notified when they upload something new. Tier Zoo is a channel that I haven't thought about in a long time, but 7 years ago, Tier Zoo was the fastest YouTuber to reach 1 million subscribers from their first upload. I think this guy, in less than a year, went from 0 videos uploaded to 1 million subscribers on YouTube. He basically invented tier lists on YouTube. If you guys aren't familiar, and I don't know how you couldn't be because he's the fastest YouTuber to reach 1 million subscribers at that point, he does videos where he highlights wild animals and basically analyzes them as if they're video game characters, taking a look at their ability, you know, like, are giraffes broken in the current meta? Treating it like a video game, but then teaching you something about wild animals and ranking. How much of an advantage is it to have a long neck? What are their natural predators? Are they weak to fire damage and stuff like that? Very Reddit-esque content. And of course, it blew up on Reddit. But I noticed just the other day that he has a second channel titled Zier2, in which he's been uploading videos analyzing the YouTube meta, the changes in the algorithm, and some reflections he's had on managing his sizable YouTube channel on this second channel, in which he tells people to join him on Patreon in order to support the future stuff that he does, because the production of his videos, buying stock footage and being able to afford all these natural lifestyle 3D models and everything that he uses has gotten so pricey that he needs more creator support. This is a dude who has 4 million subscribers, and yet he still has to kneel beneath the mighty algorithm and play to the same rules that everybody else does, which I find fascinating. The main issue with the YouTube algorithm is exactly that, is that it is an algorithm. Previously, before the aggressive changes to how things were recommended to you on YouTube, basically prior to TikTok and what have you, YouTube would basically show your videos to everybody who was subscribed to you. Period. If you were subscribed to somebody and they uploaded a new video, that video would pop up when you logged into YouTube. And as a result, you would see steady growth, and people who had 100,000 subscribers or 1 million subscribers could expect to get, I don't know, 100,000 views, 1 million views, but not exactly as many subscribers as you have. But like, everybody who clicked that subscribe button was saying, I want to see this guy's videos. And so naturally YouTube recommended that guy's videos to people who had subscribed to them. But at some point, YouTube realized that, hey, we don't necessarily think that every upload that somebody makes to their channel is going to be something that you want to watch. And as a result, that's a wasted recommended video. There's no point to us putting a video on your homepage for you to click just because you're subscribed to somebody if you have 200 subscriptions. It's a hit or miss game as to whether or not you'll actually want to watch every single video uploaded by that person. And so now, clicking the subscribe button on a channel doesn't say, hey, YouTube, I want to see every video this person uploads. Rather, it's, hey, I kind of like this person's stuff. And YouTube will generally recommend you videos that they upload if they garner some traction, but it really just uses that information to try to recommend other videos that are performing really well. And so you have this situation where the absolute tip of the iceberg is the thing that gets recommended to everybody, and everything beneath that kind of gets lost in the 8 slots of videos that you get to click on when you click on YouTube's homepage. And that becomes problematic when there are hundreds of videos being uploaded every millisecond that exists. Combine this with the fact that YouTube is ever changing. It's like content creators have to play a game of chess where every single piece on their board swaps positions every day and their moves get slightly different every week. It's an impossible game to try to keep up with if you're making videos on YouTube. The thing that you upload yesterday that gets 1 million views might not have gotten 1 million views if you upload it next week, just because the algorithm might be slightly different. If you upload a video on a day where everybody's watching the newest video by Tierzoo, iDubbbz, PewDiePie, whatever, that might be a slot that's getting recommended to everybody, and your video might fail, not because it's bad, but just because it wasn't good enough for the algorithm that day, that hour, that week, or what have you. There is no longer this consensus that so long as you make a good video, something worth watching for people, that it will eventually reach its target audience. There's so many videos being uploaded that that might not necessarily be true ever. You guys recently saw with the change to ad blockers and everything, and that weird mysterious loss in viewership that everybody was noticing, YouTube had nothing to do with that. Completely exterior forces that resulted in a massive difference in the amount of viewerships that people were getting. I know the consensus on that was, hey, it was ad-blocked viewers. Who cares? It didn't actually affect how much money you made. But the difference between somebody getting 100,000 views on a video and 70,000 views on a video because of that ad block situation might have been the difference between that video getting placed on 1 million people's recommended video page and 10,000 people's video recommended page, because that video didn't cross that stupid random threshold where it got recommended at the tippy top of the iceberg, and instead it just gets lost in the rest of the iceberg. Is it any real surprise that all of these content creators are making an effort to try to get people to move over to Patreon, where there is no algorithm? Most of you guys probably know Patreon as a website that YouTubers and Twitch streamers use in an effort to try to get you to donate $5, $10, $25 or whatever to support them in making their content creator journey to be a career, their job for them, a reality by supporting them directly, not just watching ads or buying merch where you might get a t-shirt, but rather just, hey, here's $5 or $10 a month. I like the stuff you do. Keep going. And it is that, and a lot of people use it that way. But the really strong suit of Patreon that I feel like people don't appreciate is it's one of the last places where you can upload videos, photos, and what have you that doesn't have an algorithm dictating if you will watch it. When I make this video and I upload it to YouTube, of the 150,000 people that are subscribed to my channel, the video is probably only going to get like 10 or 20,000 views for the most part. That's been true for like months and months. Why? Aren't there 150,000 people who clicked, hey, I like this channel, I want to see their videos? How come every one of them aren't clicking on the video? The 90% of them aren't even seeing the video. That's the reality. The vast majority of people who are logging into YouTube are just clicking YouTube.com, and the first 8 or 10 videos that YouTube and the algorithm puts in front of them is what they decide to pick between. And if my video isn't something that got 50,000 views overnight because it's this crazy clickable hyper clickbait piece of internet news, then YouTube thinks, hey, this isn't one of the top 1% videos this channel's made. Fuck them. We've got 1,000 other subscriptions and videos that we think this person might want to watch, and we only get 12 slots to stick in front of them. We're going to put up our A content. That's how the algorithm works. On Patreon, however, when you subscribe to somebody on Patreon, whether it's free or paid, you see everything. Every single thing that they upload gets put on your homepage on Patreon because that's what people use the website for. A quick example. I've been doing this postcard thing where I'm sending everybody a postcard for Halloween that's signed by me. You can still sign up for the Patreon and get one of those by Halloween if you wish. But I bumped into a problem where I didn't have people shipping addresses. The $5 tier on my Patreon doesn't ask you for a shipping address. So I had like 3 addresses and I was like, oh shit, what do I do? I made a post on Patreon right here where I said, hey guys, I forgot to make shipping addresses a necessary thing for you on Patreon. Please do these steps to add your shipping address and share it with me so I can send you a postcard. I had 5 addresses available to me before I made this post. This post has 61 impressions. That means only 61 people saw it. I now have 55 addresses available to me. I hope you understand how crazy that is. Of the 60 people who saw this post, which isn't a video, it's not funny, it's a status update, 50 of them, 90 fucking percent of the people who saw this post did the thing that the post was asking them to do. This video probably has 10,000 views when you watch it. Look at how many thumbs up they are. I tell people to like videos and subscribe all the time. I'm lucky if a video gets 1,000 people to thumbs up. That's not even 10% of the people who are watching this video because YouTube, you know, that's just how YouTube is. But on Patreon, because everybody who is subscribed to you is there to watch your stuff, see what you put out. They are the most dedicated of people. There is no algorithm randomly recommending people they've never heard of just because they made a good video. The connection is so much more direct. And the issue is not just on the creator, by the way. The algorithm also sucks for you guys, the viewers, in a way that I feel like most of you guys don't think about whatsoever. But it's a very poisonous, toxic environment when you actually play to the algorithm. How many of you guys know who iShowSpeed is? Your reaction is probably something along the lines of, I've never watched his stuff, I don't subscribe to him on YouTube, but I've seen some clips of him going around. Did you know, and I don't have facts behind this, but it's a generally accepted piece of internet culture, that iShowSpeed pretty much owns and or manages and or pays every clips channel that you have ever seen post an iShowSpeed clip. You have not seen a clip of iShowSpeed or Queso or any major Twitch streamer, XQC, whomever. Those don't randomly show up on your For You page, on your Twitter page, on your YouTube shorts. Those accounts are posting clips of XQC, iShowSpeed, Aiden Ross, and Queso 500 times a day in order to play to the algorithm. Because if you upload one video and it doesn't get a bunch of views, what do? That's a wasted video you made, right? If you upload one video and then upload the same video 10 times, Well, nobody's going to click it because everybody already saw it the first time. YouTube's going to see it as repetitive content. If you take a funny clip and then you upload it to 100 different accounts, well, now you're going to reach a stupid amount of people. If 98 of them just get lost in the iceberg of nobody clicked it, cool. But if two of them get the timing right, it's the middle of the night, or just the first 100 people click the like button, whereas on the rest of them, only 90 people clicked it, that video can go on to get a million fucking views because it tricked the algorithm into thinking that it's a really interesting viral piece of thing, even though it might be the same iShow speed clip that was uploaded by the 200th account 5 weeks ago. Because they're playing to game the algorithm, that's why you get flooded with so much of that random bullshit. Here's a random viral clip just to back up what I'm saying. This is I don't know who this is, but some female Twitch streamer who is complaining about, she went viral for complaining about how a $10,000 check from Twitch isn't enough after expenses for being a Twitch streamer.
$500 on setup shit, fucking $2,000 on your rent, fucking $200 on Wi-Fi, $200 on IRL toolkit. You gotta pay the clippers, pay a YouTube editor.
That's the key thing I want you to note there. The $5,000 on traveling to other places to be able to do your work and $2,000 on rent is like, I can't relate. I don't make that kind of money. Maybe that is what, you know, full-time Twitch streamers need to do. But the main thing is that she has budgeted a YouTube editor and clippers. Clippers! The people who are sharing random viral Twitch streamer says random viral rage bait just to piss you off enough to get you to comment on it or share it with your friend. She is spending money every month to get clippers to post her content onto their random channels, their big, you know, their drama alerts, their Dexertos, random YouTube channels that just post Twitch highlights. She's adding her name and her clips to that by paying them money, knowing that posting 1,000 different clips of whatever random funny thing she did in an 8-hour stream might be the difference between getting her name up and out in the algorithm and not. This exact video has probably been shared on Twitter 500 times, but I was only able to find this single one because it's the one that had the most views and the one that had the most likes and therefore got to the top of the algorithm, the tippy top of the iceberg, and actually showed up in front of my face. But even this video was probably posted into the fucking void 200 or 300 times before it ever got in front of me. The algorithm.
This has always been very concerning to me as a content creator because it raises this bar of what it takes to be a successful YouTuber or Twitch streamer to a point that feels a little bit difficult to reach by just making wholehearted, enjoyable, passionate content. You know what I mean? If somebody makes a really solid video covering a video game, covering a topic, whatever, that they really enjoy, but the only thing they do is what they can afford to do with no money, which is spend 8 hours editing together a video that they think is really solid, they think is really good, and they upload that video to YouTube, the website that has the best algorithm compared to TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, and what have you, in an effort to try to get people to watch it. It's no longer guaranteed that that's enough. It may also be required. I've always thought that it's been required that you need to pay somebody like a YouTube editor or a thumbnail artist because they're going to do the editing and the thumbnail better than you can. And those things are really important to get you up to the tier where a million people might watch your video. But now it seems like even that might not be enough. You might need to take the most interesting viral 20 or 30 seconds of your video or your live stream, pay $500 to $1,000 a month to get a clipper, somebody who has 100,000 followers on Twitter or 300,000 Twitter accounts, and then upload it over and over and over again to Facebook, to Tumblr, to TikTok, to Twitter, in the hopes that one of those goes viral enough for somebody to write a news article about you, get a big Twitch streamer to react to your content. That's a relatively crazy environment that I don't necessarily think inhibits good content creators making good content to be able to flourish. Instead, it feels like it's just the people who are making the most viral AI rage bait bad take reactions that are easy enough for 1,000 other people to chop up into readily digestible, vertically scrolling, whatever the fucks, to flood YouTube shorts and flood TikToks and flood Twitter with. Like, what the fuck are we doing?
I recently watched a video by Freddie Wong on the Rocket Jump YouTube channel. This was a YouTube channel that did
like martial arts and visual effects. They were like some of the most viral content on YouTube. They had Key and Peele, they had ProZD, they had so many like celebrities and big names coming together to make this content. And then like 6 years ago, they just stopped making videos on YouTube whatsoever. From my understanding, it was in order to pursue more mainstream, like they want to make movies, they want to make TV shows. They grew out of YouTube at 9 million subscribers. But after 6 years of basically no uploads, like literally just one upload that was a trailer for a video they made, Freddie Wong uploads this video titled Return, in which he basically talks about where they've been and their successes and their failures and everything, and then tells everybody to try to crowdfund an action comedy movie by the name of Nail House that he's working on, and tells people to subscribe to his Patreon, where I've noticed he has been uploading movies. We're All Gonna Die, Nail House launching, star visualization, some behind the scenes stuff. These guys have 9 million subscribers. I would argue they made some of the best stuff on YouTube ever, and yet they transitioned into uploading stuff on Patreon exclusively. This stuff is like, they could have thrown it up on YouTube, it wouldn't have cost them any money, it wouldn't have lost them any revenue or anything, but I guess just because these phenomenal works that these guys have been working on and have been making just can't hang with the modern virality. They won't be algorithmically favored. They're not retention watching. They don't give away a Tesla. They're not reacting to woke gamer news. You're literally not getting some of the best shit Freddie Wong has ever made. I mean, I don't know if this is the best stuff he's made so far, right? But you're literally not getting content on YouTube for free, because the algorithm is so fucked up that these people are moving over to uploading on a different fucking website. That's arguably getting worse. It's easy to say, hey, the algorithm's so fucking good, it always knows what I want to watch, it's always throwing stuff in front of me that I want to click on, but it's also doing this other thing where if you aren't the absolute tippy top of the Moist Criticals and the Mr. Beasts, you might not even have a space here. And that's easy for me to say as a smaller YouTuber, but like Freddie Wong's fucking huge, right? I don't know if you guys are worried about YouTube and all video and TikToks and everything just becoming AI voiced recaps of famous movies and just the absolute lowest tiered unoriginal shit ever, just creating the dead internet theories reality in front of our very eyes the way that I am. But it worries me. Now, after watching Moist Critical's video about him reflecting on how much money he's made and disabling donations and what have you, like, I recognize, obviously, that it's a tough environment economically for everyone. Like, it's not like everybody has $5 a month. Fucking nobody does. I fucking don't. You know what I mean? You can't be expected to take the 100 subscribers that you're subscribed to and throw a fucking $1,000 at them to subscribe to them on Patreon just to ensure that you're gonna get their videos in front of your eyes, right? You shouldn't have to. That's YouTube's fucking job. They should be putting the videos you wanna watch in front of you that are being made by people who are trying to make videos to get them in front of people. But all the same, YouTubers who are making videos and have tried to turn this into a career can't afford to spend a month or even a few weeks making a video that's gonna go on to get 10% of their subscriber base, right? Like 100,000 views pays like $100 nowadays. Like, that's not gonna be enough for anybody to be able to continually put out content that's worth watching to combat the XQC clips, the rage bait, the Twitch highlights, the AI voiceovered Family Guy characters explaining software development tools to you. You know what I mean? I don't feel like we're heading in a direction that's conducive to good shit to watch on the internet anymore. What am I supposed to do? Just wait around for them to get me invested into a show on Netflix and then fuck that up like they did with the end of Game of Thrones? I don't trust them either. I don't have a great solution for this. I just had thoughts that I wanted to share with you guys. That's kind of what the Spodcast is for. I hope you found it interesting. If you made it to the end, I hope you did. Let me know what you guys think down in the comments. I appreciate you guys making it to the end of this video. Leave a like if you enjoyed. Literally the last day to sign up for the Patreon if you want a postcard by Halloween. I'll get them to anybody who signs up after this. You just might not get it by Halloween. Subscribe if you enjoyed it, and I will catch you guys on the next one. Peace.